Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila.
Here.
Vice Chair Yarborough. Representatives Altman.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Ranking Member Brown. Representatives Driscoll.
Here.
Duran.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Tribuzzi.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And with the quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee. Please, members, make sure to, and those in the audience, please make sure that your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on a silent mode. With that, members, I want to welcome all the returning and new members to this committee, to the subcommittee. This is obviously we're living in unprecedented times, and because we're living in unprecedented times, we're going to be, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And so on this committee, which makes up, and you're going to see in the presentation, a substantial, significant amount of our state's budget, we're definitely going to be making some tough decisions. Through no fault of anyone here nor our residents, it just is what it is because of obviously this global pandemic that has wreaked havoc on our nation, on the world. And so, with that being said, members, I look forward to working with each and one of you, each and every one of you. I am very confident that we will not only meet expectations, but we will exceed them. And my door will always be open, as well as our staff director, Brian Clark, and the rest of our healthcare appropriations staff. Their doors will always be open to you as well. If you have any questions, any concerns, any ideas, certainly this is a time for us to communicate, to make sure that we work together, regardless of party. At the end of the day, we're Floridians, and we need to make sure that we represent our state as best as we can. So with that being said, members, I would like to provide you with a brief outline on how I would like to proceed over the next hour. I want to begin today by introducing our subcommittee staff. First, we're going to start with our budget chief, Brian Clark, who is to the right of me. We also have Sabrina Arnold to the left of me, our administrative assistant, Billy Fontaine, who is our budget specialist in charge of the Department of Children and Families. We have Brian Milkey, he is our budget specialist in charge of the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, the Department of Health, and the Department of Veterans Affairs. We also have Ross Nobles, the budget specialist in charge of the Agency for Health Care Administration and the Department of Elder Affairs. Again, members, as I mentioned before, our staff is always available to assist you with any questions or information or ideas that you may have. I want to give you some context of how our committee will proceed. So today, I intend to walk you through and discuss a brief PowerPoint presentation of the Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee. The presentation is intended to give you a high-level overview of what the subcommittee is, where we are in terms of the present budgetary outlook, and to prepare members for what we will be required to do over the next few months in an effort to produce a balanced budget, which is required by our Constitution. The last slide of the presentation provides you with some points of discussion that we will need to consider as we begin our budget work. At the conclusion of my presentation, I will invite discussion from members related to the points we have raised in the presentation. Please keep in mind that we only have 1 hour to complete today's presentation and discussion into these issues. With that being said, we will move right into the presentation. So members, If you would please turn your attention to the meeting packet or the presentation on the screen. So we're going to begin on slide number 2. And so these are our various responsibilities within the Appropriations Committee. We certainly have to make budget recommendations for the various health agencies and programs to the Appropriations Committee. We have to provide legislative oversight regarding the expenditures of appropriated funds. We also have to review the budget, the governor's budget recommendations, and agency legislative budget requests. We also analyze the trust funds for creation, termination, or modification. And we also consider legislation with a fiscal impact. So those are our responsibilities for this subcommittee. Moving on to the third slide. Here, members, you have a breakdown of all the major programs within the several agencies and departments within our silo. And so I'll just give you a brief moment just to look that over. Okay, let's go to the fourth slide. So members, here on slide number 4 is where we get into the actual breakdown in terms of the healthcare appropriations. So on your left-hand side, you're going to see a breakdown of healthcare to the state, to the total state budget. And so you're gonna see the makeup of healthcare, which is comprised of 43% of our state budget. Obviously, that is a very, very significant amount. We're nearing almost a halfway point. So it's a very big responsibility that we have on our hands. And certainly, as I mentioned before, I expect us to not only meet expectations, but exceed them. Turning to your right-hand side, we have the Medicaid budget compared to this total state budget. And so there you can see the Medicaid program right now makes up about 32% of our state budget. On slide number 5, here's a little bit more of a detailed breakdown in terms of the healthcare appropriations by agency and department. And so I'll just give you some time to look that over. And here we have it broken down by FTEs, general revenue, state trust funds, federal funds, and then your total on the right-hand side. I would just like to move to the bottom. So to the bottom left, you're gonna see the appropriations by fund type. So you'll see federal funds make up 57.40%, general revenue 26.97%, and the trust funds, the state trust funds make up 15.63%. Moving to your right-hand side, lower right-hand side, you have the appropriations by agency, and there's where you get a breakdown in terms of the breakdown for each of our agencies and departments. As you can see, healthcare administration makes up the bulk of it, which is 78.19%. Moving to slide number 6. Here you have a 5-year appropriations history. So here's to give you some context as to where we have been and where we are projected to go. Where we are today, I should say. And so here you have a breakdown in terms of the trust funds, also with the general revenue, and then you have a percentage change from the prior year at the very bottom. So you can see, obviously, how the trust fund number has been increasing, and as well as slightly the general revenue as well from year to year. Moving on to slide number 7, Here's where we get into the Florida Medicaid program. And Medicaid services, right now, approximately 75% accounts for approximately 75% of our healthcare appropriations budget. So again, this is obviously a very significant program that makes up a very significant portion of the healthcare appropriations budget. Medicaid covers many low-income individuals. And then you have a breakdown in terms of the 1.6 adults. You have 2.4 million children as of November 2020, 56% of live births as of 2019-2020. You also have 63% of all nursing home days as of 2019, fiscal year 2019-2020. And you also have approximately 79% of the Medicaid population is enrolled in the Medicaid managed care program as of December 2020. And there you have a breakdown. Moving on to slide number 8. Here we have a breakdown of the caseloads for Medicaid. As you can see, certainly we are experiencing a higher Medicaid caseload, and with that also comes a large cost consideration. And so you can see for going into 2021-2022, what we're looking at is potentially getting somewhere near the 4.6 million range for those on Medicaid. So obviously, many people, many of our residents experienced a very difficult year, and that obviously is one of the contributing factors to this increase in the caseload. Moving on to slide number 9. Here we start, from here on out, we start kind of getting into some of the services, and so this slide describes the family safety and child welfare services and some of their programs, as well as on the right-hand side, it also gives you what the funding history has been, right, over the past 5 years. As you can see, it's been steadily increasing year after year. And so with that, we'll move on to the next slide. On slide number 10, substance abuse and mental health services. So again, here it gives you a brief description on the left-hand side of some of the programs and some of the some of their services. On the right-hand side, it also gives you the funding history. And so, again, you can also see there's been steadily an increase year after year over the past 5 years. Moving to slide number 11, the Department of Health. And again, for the Department of Health, on the left-hand side, you can see some of their biggest programs, as well as some of the things that they are currently involved in. On the right-hand side, here you're also going to get a historical picture of the appropriations for the Department of Health, specifically with their tobacco education and use prevention program. Moving to slide number 12. The Agency for Persons with Disabilities. Again, on your left-hand side, you'll notice that for home and community-based services, Medicaid waiver, it currently serves a little over 35,000 clients. There is a waiting list of 22, a little bit more than, actually 22,792 on the wait list. Out of those, there are, if you look at the next bullet, there are 1,122 individuals that are really at risk and certainly are at the top of that waiting list. So something for certainly all of you to look at, and towards the end we'll address any questions that you may have. Also on the right hand side, again, you have a funding history of those services, and so you have a mixture of general revenue as well as trust fund monies that go into these services. Moving on to slide 13. So here we're looking at fiscal year 2020-2021 healthcare appropriations, and we're looking at, on the left-hand side, the total funds. And then on your right-hand side, we're looking at the general revenue. So on the total fund side, on your left-hand side, again, healthcare administration makes up the bulk of it, more than 78%. In terms of general revenue, the healthcare administration makes up about 79.1%. Moving to slide 14, members, so here you have a picture of the general revenue by program. So as you can see, as we mentioned before, in terms of the Medicaid program, it makes up a significant amount of the general revenue allocation within the healthcare space. And so here it makes up 67.3%, and then the nearest would be the substance abuse and mental health, which is 8%. Okay, so from here, members, we're going to look at the long-range financial outlook. So for those of you that were or that sit on the full appropriations committee, you would have, this may seem familiar to you, it was also a part of that presentation and discussed at the previous meeting. And so with this slide, you know, main points here, you know, the long range financial outlook was issued by the Legislative Budget Commission on September 10th as required by the Florida Constitution. The outlook is comprised of both revenue and expenditure estimates over a three-year period. This year includes fiscal years 2021 to 2022 to 2023, and 2023 to 2024. The estimates are based upon estimating conferences and recent historical experience. These estimates include expenditures for critical needs and other high priority needs, as well as revenue adjustments. And the estimated revenues minus expected expenditures yield either a surplus or a deficit for each of the three forecasted years. The focus, again, is on the general revenue fund. So here on slide number 16, right now the general revenue fund, we're obviously going to have a deficit given what, you know, the impact that COVID had on our state. As many of you know all too well, the state was shut down for almost 2 months. Certain parts of the state were the hardest hit, were shut down probably a little longer, and experienced a little bit more difficulty. So given all of those circumstances, we're looking at, for this upcoming fiscal year, a $2.75 billion shortfall for our state budget. For year two, we're looking at a $1.89 billion shortfall. And for year three, we're looking at a $927 million shortfall. Moving on to slide 17. So, and again, this slide may seem familiar to some of you that were on the Appropriations Committee or that saw the Appropriations Committee meeting. If that $2.75 billion general revenue deficit was prorated across each of the subcommittees, our committee, the Healthcare Appropriations Committee, down towards your bottom left, would be looking at somewhere around $846 million that we would need to reduce in terms of our silo in order to certainly meet our constitutional obligation, which is, at the end of the day, to have a balanced budget. And members, the last slide, where do we go from here? You know, as I mentioned to several of you before the committee meeting, you know, this is certainly a very important subcommittee. It certainly has, particularly given you know, what the state has experienced with COVID, it even gives it even more certainly even more importance. And so, you know, given all of those factors, you know, we must determine what criteria you know, we should use to determine what the highest and best use of state resources are going to be. And so, you know, I put up here several points for you. The first being, how can we determine the validity of programs? Second, is the spending central or core to each agency's legal mandates? Third, is the spending critical for public safety, health, and welfare, or a state obligation such as debt service? Fourth, is the spending a requirement of the Florida Constitution, federal law, or for state match or maintenance of an effort? And lastly, how can resources be reprioritized within our subcommittee agencies or potentially redirected to general revenue? So again, those are all, you know, things that we need to consider, that we really need to focus on and make sure that we are taking into account when we are, you know, proposing, obviously, these reductions that are going to be significant due to the impact that COVID has had on our state. So with that, members, I wanted to try to really get through this presentation as quick as possible to open it up to you, certainly for any questions, any ideas, any comments. Certainly open it up to discussion. So with that, members, I'll open it up to all of you. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question, what sort of the percentage of our state funds that we use to draw down federal matching dollars?
Could you say that again?
Sorry. I had asked what percentage of our state funds within our budget that we use to draw down federal matching dollars.
So most of that answer is, I mean, I can't get into specific numbers, but most of our general revenue and state trust funds are used in order to draw down those matching funds from the federal government. Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if we can just, you know, following the meeting or just whenever, just would love to get that percentage.
Yeah.
But it's not needed necessarily today. But if I
get we'll it. Do, we'll do. Representative Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we know and have we calculated the potential availability of additional FMAP funding from the federal government in terms of Medicaid?
So we're looking into that right now. Certainly, that is what we're hearing, that, you know, all signs point to it, you know, that enhanced FMAP. Which will certainly, I think, help our budget situation in terms of healthcare. I will also say we are expecting some good news, hopefully, from the March estimates from the LBC. So there's certainly some light at the end of the tunnel, but you know, that doesn't mean that we're certainly out of out of danger.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that negative $846 million amount is subject to change.
That is correct. Obviously, we're hoping and praying that the estimate from March from the LBC will be a positive one, as well as the enhanced FMAP.
Thank you.
Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm interested in obviously those five areas, but specifically the first one. How do we determine the validity of programs? Is there a committee approach or some objective way we're going to be doing that as a committee? And what's the process, if there is such a process?
Yeah, so I mean, I think certainly as we start getting into it, right? One of the key things that I would recommend to each of the members is to certainly get in touch with our staff director, with the staff, and really sit down with them, make sure you make some time, as well as with me. I mean, if you're going to have a meeting with them and you want me there, I will make sure that I make time to be there as well. Or if you want to just meet with them privately, you can also do that. I think that's a good starting point in order for the familiarity with this budget, since it's so extensive, right, and so important to our state. I think that's certainly a good step. And then moving forward in the committees, as we have in the committee weeks, as well as when we get into session, we're certainly going to have more and more discussions about each of those items as we move forward and as we get a better picture, right? Certainly to Representative Skidmore's point, that $846 million number could change, given a better picture, certainly from the LBC, the enhanced FMAP, and certain other things. So, I would say first and foremost, I would recommend that each of the members really get in touch with the staff and with Brian, with myself, and certainly we can start to really look at everything, and then certainly when we're in committee, we can certainly share those ideas and share those thoughts, and kind of start the workings of what we really need to do. Senator Altman, you're recognized.
What is the status? I know there's talk now with a potentially additional stimulus package for pandemic relief to the states. Are we monitoring that? Is that something in the pike? I haven't heard anything. I thought you guys might be on.
Yeah, so I mean that's certainly something that that we're looking at. Obviously, I would say that I think they're still kind of in the early stages of putting together what the proposal is. So, it varies from article to article that I read. One thing I would say certainly that we have to be cautious about is, some of those dollars having strings attached to them, what those strings would be, right? If they're very restrictive, it could have an impact certainly on our state moving forward. We've seen how many, many states that have freely, taken money from the federal government with strings attached. We've seen how many of their residents are now coming to Florida. We just have to have a very cautious view as we move forward, and certainly, monitor the situation which we're doing. Follow up, you're recognized.
Well, yeah, I hope the Congress takes a look at, where about 500,000 people have died now. I know they're busy with impeachment, but I hope they spend their resources addressing the pandemic.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Altman. Representative Duran, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's an honor to serve with you and the rest of this committee. A couple questions, maybe even might be able to direct it to Brian to help me understand a couple of things. The first was on the FMAP. I understand from, I think you and I were talking about yesterday, that would extend itself through to the end of this year, I guess the calendar year. Do we know when we'll have the next sort of, that impacts sort of our estimates largely in many respects, but do we have any idea of when the next, from our chief economist, when we'll have like that next estimate of how that looks and how that's impacting things before we meet again?
Yeah, so that'll be to what I pointed earlier from Representative Skidmore as well as Representative Robinson. That March estimate is very important, right? Because that March estimate from the LBC will take that into account and factor that in. So certainly by late February, early March, we should have that information for you.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I guess, Brian, and maybe you might be able to help me with this one. With respect to our Medicaid managed care system that we have in place, we have these medical loss ratio rules. And so you hear from a lot of folks that even though we may have folks in the Medicaid program, they may not be using their care as much as we would have been regularly. And if that's the case, I think that we're, from my understanding, it's like 85% is the medical loss ratio. If we're not spending that there's a way that we would be refunded that back by those systems. Do we know when we would be able to have some idea on what is potentially going to be coming back, just under the idea that we are looking for all the pennies and dollars that we can possibly use to allocate in this year's budget?
Yeah, so Representative Duran, right now we have an Achieved Savings Rebate Program, and so that they look at specifically what those savings would be, and then divert that back to or redirect that back to the state.
Great, and then one final follow up, if I can.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. when our chief economist comes back in March, does she also is a part of that? And just I'm trying to remember. Is a part of that the Medicaid enrollment estimates for the year? That's a part of her grand equation, right? Yes. I'm just making sure I understand that.
Yes, that is correct, Representative.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, Representative, and for all the members, on one of the, let me see what exact slide, you can see the caseloads and how they, on slide 8, and so you can see obviously what the projection looks like moving forward. Members, any additional questions, comments? All righty. Well, members, again, as I've said before, please feel free to, again, reach out to me, reach out to the staff. I can't stress to you how important this subcommittee is. I'm sure all of you know it. But our state has been hit hard. Our residents have been hit hard. So obviously it's upon us. Really we're called to make sure that we not only again meet standards but we exceed them. Really do the best that we can for our residents. I can tell you from, this past year, I was activated with the National Guard. So the day right after Sine Die, I was already reporting to my unit up until late December. It's very personal to make sure that we do everything we can for our state and our residents really to be successful and to get beyond to get past this this pandemic. So with that, members, again, feel free, contact me, contact the staff. Again, I want to work with each and every one of you, and I can tell you that this upcoming week or leading up to this upcoming week, I'm going to be reaching out to each and every one of you individually, just really checking in and making sure, that you have all the resources available to you. And that if you need me or you need, the staff, you need anyone, if there's anything that you need, I will be reaching out, so please make sure to let me know. Feel free. Don't hesitate. Again, we're in this together. And as we say in the Army, one team, one fight. I know we have a Marine amongst us. And Air Force? Army, all right, there we go. So, you know, we know what it's like, certainly to work as a team, and all of us have done it in our legislative careers. But now more than ever is when we need to do this. So, you know, in saying that, I encourage you to really look into the budget, look at each and every one of the line items, make sure, you know, if you have any question, just reach out to the staff. With that, members, that concludes our subcommittee meeting. And if there is no further business before the committee, Representative Salzman. Representative Salzman moves that we rise without objection. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.